From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Bianca Hall. It's Wednesday, the 31st of August. A talk fest or an ambitious vehicle to drive economic reform? Perhaps both. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Treasurer Jim Chalmers will lead a job summit starting tomorrow that brings together political leaders, unions, business chiefs and community groups. The summit's taking place against a backdrop of rising inflation and interest rates, stagnant wage growth and a tight labour market. High on the agenda are mooted changes to the Better Off Overall test, which could receive bipartisan support. But the Greens are warning they won't back any changes that leave young or low-paid workers worse off. To tell us more, I'm joined by Federal Industrial Relations reporter Angus Thompson. Welcome back to Please Explain, Angus.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So for people not in Canberra, what is the Jobs and Skills Summit and why is it important?
The Jobs and Skills Summit was an election promise by now Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. He's having a go at kind of re-energising the principles of the 1983 Bob Hawke Summit, where they basically got unions and businesses together in a real kumbaya moment to forge a pathway for what Australia's labour market would look like into the future. It's important now because we're at a flashpoint. We've got $1 trillion worth of national debt. We've got a skills shortage. I believe there's about 500,000 job vacancies nationwide at the moment. There's a big national debate over wages and cost of living pressures as part of that. So the time is really right for everyone to get in the room and have a discussion about what levers can be pulled and what reforms can be made to see that Australia is performing well and that people are earning a good income in the future.
Unions are calling for industry-wide bargaining. What could that ask look like and how would it actually work in practice?
Basically, what that means is that a union would negotiate on behalf of workers and across entire industry or sector, and they would do that with a peak employer association. So it could be, you know, anything from mining to retail. And what that would allow is a bit more bargaining power for workers who are typically underrepresented in that space and a lot of lower paid workers as well. One of the focal points of the industry-wide discussion is actually enabling that to be strengthened or allowing that to take place for people who work in the care sectors. So when we talk about that, we're talking about early learning, aged care, and of course, health, which are typically industries dominated by women and have lower bargaining strength than perhaps the construction industry. So that is one of the main thrusts of trying to get industry-wide bargaining on the table at the summit.
And I think most people would agree that some of those feminised workforces like childcare workers and aged care workers deserve to be a lot better paid. Employers are calling for changes to the Better Off Overall test, the delightfully named BOOT. What does the BOOT do and how do they want it to be reformed?
So we're getting to real technical industrial relations space. So it's fantastic to see that on the front page of a newspaper. Basically, what the Better Off Overall test or the BOOT does, it, as it perhaps says in the name, it actually ensures that workers don't go backwards in enterprise bargaining negotiations and that they are better off than they would be under the industrial award that they are covered by, and that perhaps there may be some trade-offs here and there, but overall, they're going to end up in a better position with perhaps better pay and better conditions.
So how could that process be simplified to speed up enterprise bargaining processes or to be adapted to suit employers more?
What employers have been saying for a long time now is that the process is too cumbersome. It is being too rigorously applied by the Fair Work Commission, who is the ultimate arbiter of whether or not enterprise agreements pass the test, that it's taking too long for agreements to be hatched out because of the high threshold being applied. So they've come up with a few suggestions. One is to disregard novel or hypothetical scenarios that might be applied to workers. Another is to try and get agreements ratified where there is a genuine agreement. And what they basically mean by that is where there's majority agreement by a workforce. An example of why that's an issue is there actually have been scenarios where the Fair Work Commission has not ratify an agreement because they don't think it really reaches the threshold, despite the relevant union having voted for it in negotiations.
Okay. And when you mentioned the hypotheticals or the theoreticals previously, what the boot does, if I understand it correctly, is it compares changes to a workplace agreement to how that may play out in a theoretical workplace. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. One really interesting example of how this has played out and what employers would like to see overturned is a case a few years ago involving Coles supermarkets, where a shopping trolley operator actually brought a case to the courts saying that the agreement hatched out between Coles and the union didn't serve him very well because he worked weekends, and the agreement actually hatched out that the penalty shifts for those times would be lower. So whilst the majority of the workforce was better off, there was a small number of people who were left in a worse off position. Now, employers are saying it's scenarios like that that need to be smoothed out so they don't happen again.
Talk to me about why a Labor government would want to reform a measure that ensures no worker is worse off. Tony Burke was previously very strongly opposed to this, but he seems to have softened his stance on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit of background to this is the union movement, the ACTU, Australian Council of Trade Unions, have actually softened their stance on this somewhat. Sally McManus, the secretary, said on Sunday that she would like to see the test simplified. Now, she didn't go into detail as to what that would actually mean, other than to say that they wanted safeguards there for workers so that everyone didn't go backwards, essentially. However, what Tony Burke said this week was, look, he's prepared to give a little ground or to compromise where he can see consensus between unions and businesses to be hashed out. What he said is his grand vision, what he actually wants to see overall is to get wages moving. That's his mission. So if smaller concessions can be made in the detail to get the overall picture happening for him, then that indicates a green light.
The opposition has flagged that they're pretty open to working with the government on changing the boot. But the Greens leader, Adam Bandt, has fired a shot across the government's bows today, hasn't he?
The Greens actually have quite a solid industrial relations policy, and they're quite adamant that they actually don't want to see any element of that test softened. They don't want to see workers, particularly low-paid and more vulnerable workers, left worse off. So Adam Bandt seems to have drawn a line in the sand over that. And the reason why that is significant is because they have the numbers in the Senate now to be able to block things if the coalition doesn't play along with the government. It means that they need to be taken a bit more seriously when they do have a gripe about something or another.
The Nats leader, David Littleproud, will be there tomorrow, but the Liberals won't be. Why is Peter Dutton removing himself from these discussions?
I think he's being a typical opposition leader and injecting a bit of contrarianism into the debate. However, what he's said is that it's going to be a bit of a talk fest, and, you know, the government just needs to get moving on what it believes are the solutions to the problems and basically not have this pantomime. However, you know, he's also pointed to the fact that there seems to be a huge union representation at this summit, and perhaps some smaller players like small businesses have been left out of the picture. However, we have seen some fantastic participation from the small business sector as well. So, look, I'm not sure the coalition's quite got their messaging right on this just yet, but yeah, clearly Peter Dutton's not leaning in to the summit at this stage.
So the agenda this week is mainly about skills and labour shortages, but there was a pretty important and, I think, interesting contribution from chief executive women on childcare and parental leave this week. Can you talk us through that?
One of the big issues which is being inserted into various parts of the forum in many ways is equal pay and equal participation for women in the workforce. And that is manifesting through various proposed solutions, whether it be through increased childcare subsidies and pinning increased subsidies in childcare to higher wages for people in that workforce as well. There's a grand discussion about increasing paid parental leave, which would not only benefit women taking time off and wanting to go back to work, but also their male partners who, for a long time, perhaps opted to be the first ones to go back to work, take less time off work, or felt the pressure to be the main breadwinners as well. So there's a real cultural shift in being able to even out workforce participation, and there's some of the ways that major stakeholders are proposing to do it.
Some real opportunities there for everyone. Thanks very much for coming on Please Explain today, Angus.
Thanks very much for having me.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Debbie Harrington. the journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald work tirelessly to cover the news that matters. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Bianca Hall. Thanks for listening.